The Obama administration represents that section of the U.S. foreign policy establishment that sees that given the limited influence that the U.S. now has, that it's better to come to some sort of rapprochement with Iran, not just on the nuclear question, but over politics in the Middle East. That doesn't mean that Iran will be a puppet or that they'll be complete partners. But I think that's the thinking, not just of Obama, but these, as I said, a big part of the establishment. The Senate has to remember that the Senate itself signed by a two-thirds majority the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. Thus, it became the highest law of the land once it was signed into law by the United States government. The United States government has thus, as the signer to the NPT, the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, the absolute affirmative obligation to enter into the negotiations with Iran and all other non-nuclear powers, while at the same time dismantling its own nuclear stockpile. That's the quid pro quo in the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. A lot of American people right now are mad at the Senate because they're acting as if they don't have an affirmative obligation under the NPT and they just want to crash all nuclear negotiations.
Well, when you talk about the NPT, I have to ask this, Bob Ayers, and, you know, Israel is saying that, you know, this deal is going to threaten Israel's existence. But it's quite ironic, of course, that Israel, though it's undeclared, possesses nuclear warheads ranging from 170 or 80 to up to 400. And, of course, they're not a signatory to the NPT. So that's a contradiction in the way that Israel is presenting itself.
I agree with you, but I don't understand what the question is.
Well, the question is that because of Israel, I would think that that's part of the reason why you have Republicans obviously caving in based on the influence that they have in terms of the stance that they have on Iran. I mean, obviously, it's not Iran being a threat to Israel.
I think you're trying to read something into the process problems that really does not exist. What we have is a constitutional headbutting between the president and the Senate. That's simply a fight over who has the final prerogative to do something. Each side has subsequently declared they were a victor in this. The Senate has said, we won because we made the president back down. The administration has said, we won because we're going to get the deal we wanted. Israel has come in and said, well, we won because we influenced the U.S. to take this action in the Senate. All of these people are trying to spin the story and change what was really nothing more than a constitutional argument between the executive branch and the legislative branch.
Okay. Well, let me reflect and get your actual reaction, Brian Becker, to what the Israeli intelligence minister has said, Yuval Stenitz. He said this is more pressure and another barrier in the face of a bad agreement, and therefore the administration and the negotiating team will make more of an effort to seal gaps and to achieve an agreement that looks better or at least more reasonable so that it will pass in Congress. Do you think that he's actually genuine in that viewpoint that he's having?
I couldn't hear. Who said that?
That's the Israel intelligence minister, Yuval Stenitz.
Oh. I think the Israelis are trying to crow about how strong and how much influence they have. The fact of the matter is Israel is slipping in American public opinion polls. Yes, it has very strong support within the U.S. Congress. Yes, they want to show that they got something from their aggressive posture with the Obama administration. But no, I mean, it doesn't have any real impact like that. The Israeli government ultimately is an extension of its stability is an extension of American benevolence, because America gives Israel $4 billion each and every year. America has functioned as a partner and as a protector and as a guarantor for Israel. Israel might want to say whatever they want to, but the idea that there's now Congress is the bad cop and Obama is the good cop, and the combined pressure of the two will get a better agreement, that's just a face-saving gesture by the Netanyahu government and the Israeli government trying to placate Israeli public opinion, which is increasingly more right-wing. And I think that it's actually meaningless, and I think we should just assume that it's just politics, it's spin, it's nothing but propaganda. It's not meaningful at all.
Well, let's see here. Maybe this does not have any bearing, Bob Ayers, but you know, there's a couple of things that have happened. Russia has said that they are going to deliver the S-300 missile defense system to Iran, and also the Oil for Food program has started. And you, of course, have the Saudi war in Yemen that has continued. Do you think that any of these factors will play into the bigger picture?
No, they may at some point in time cause a reaction or a change in U.S. policy. But right now, no, the Russians are taking actions that are designed to stir the pot a little bit. The U.S. won't be distracted by that, neither will the Iranians. As far as the Saudi war in Yemen goes, that's compartmentalized. That's a different issue. The U.S. is focused on this one problem, this one topic, and that's what the concern and all of the anger and all of the political process and jockeying for position is all about. It's all about the Iranian nuclear accord. These other things are interesting, but they're irrelevant.
So come the deadline, Brian Becker, are we to look at this not being jeopardized? That'll be on course. Do you not see anything else that might come in the way?
Oh, no, I think there will be a very severe effort to undermine and sabotage the agreement by those who are determined to sabotage it. I think that we should be aware of the possibility of new provocations created either by political forces or military forces or intelligence forces associated with Obama's opposition within the United States Congress, or by Mossad and the Israeli government, or others. I mean, it could come from the Saudi Arabia, too, which, of course, fears any sort of rapprochement between the United States and Iran. There could be a lot of things could happen, and there could be provocations that change the whole political outlook. So I don't think we should assume that anything is a done deal. All I'm saying is that this intervention by the anti-accord Republicans with the support of Democrats who are using the issue of congressional oversight as the issue rather than the content of the agreement itself as the issue. Even though this has caused the resolution to be passed, this by itself does not mean that the negotiations are off track. It will give a boost of morale to the Republicans, but they've given up a lot too. They know, I think, that unless something very big happens, like a major world-changing provocation or some pretext like that, that it's very unlikely that they will have the two-thirds majority in July or August to overturn the agreement if the Obama administration comes to an agreement with the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Of course, Bob Ayers, it remains, and it's out in the disputes, and much disagreements have been portrayed on this, and that is the deal with sanctions. What is the deal with sanctions? Because Iran has said that if the sanctions don't get removed simultaneously, when the deal is signed, that there will be no deal. So what is the deal behind the sanctions?
Well, the way it is structured right now, until such time as either the Senate proposition is approved and signed, or until such time as it's not approved and Obama vetoes it, and the veto is subsequently overridden, the sanctions remain in place. Now, the negotiating position of Iran is that as soon as a handshake is made, the sanctions should be immediately lifted. Well, unfortunately, Iran does not understand the internal political mechanics of the United States government, because what they're demanding is something that can't be achieved without congressional approval. And congressional approval doesn't happen as soon as Secretary Terry shakes somebody's hands. So what we've got is a situation where I think an imperfect understanding on the part of Iran as to the mechanics of the process with which inside the United States the accord would go through and finally be approved. They've confused that with immediate approval once this treaty is agreed to by the Secretary of State, and that's not the same as agreed to by the Congress.
And same question to you, Brian Becker. Obviously, sanctions is something that Iran's president has time and again repeated, even today, has said that if the sanctions are not removed immediately, there will be no deal.
Right. There's been it's been made clear by Iran that this is their official position. There was some question of whether it meant when at the time of the signing of the agreement, which is what the Supreme Leader said originally, or the president used a different formulation, something about when the treaty is, when the accord is implemented. In other words, there could be a lag time. Whatever it is, it's very clear that the Iranian government expects very, very significant sanctions relief to happen very quickly. And whether that means it's instantly or quickly, meaning in a matter of weeks or months, I'm not 100% certain that the Iranian government has knows exactly where it will be. But it's very fair on their part. The economic sanctions are the tool by the powerful against less powerful forces, even though I would say the Israeli government has violated every part of international law by refusing to sign the NPT and has nuclear weapons, and because the United States violates the NPT by modernizing and making more usable a new generation of nuclear weapons instead of getting rid of its stockpile and thus in violation of the NPT. Even though there's lawlessness, there's not sanctions imposed on Israel, there's not sanctions imposed on the United States or Britain and France. These are a tool of economic warfare against Iran. And Iran, I think, is very certain that they're not going to be pushed around. They want mutual respect. And if there's not full-scale economic sanctions lifting or very imminent sanctions lifting, I think that could be the end of the agreement. But if that happens, the onus will be, and it's important about onus and blame here, it will be on the U.S. side, because it's clear to the other major powers and to the world that Iran is negotiating in good faith.
We're going to end it there. Thank you very much from the Answer Coalition, Brian Becker, speaking to us from Washington, D.C. Thank you very much, international security analyst Bob Ayers. He spoke to us from Somerset, U.K. And thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitale and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.